The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the sun of righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and just decrees that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes, and he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children, and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is written in Romans chapter 15. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope. And the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 21st chapter. Jesus said, there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. And the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. And he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they come out in leaf, you see for yourselves and know that the summer is already near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all has taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that they come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place, and to stand before the Son of Man. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The sermon for Populus Zion is based upon the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 21st chapter. And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves. People fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. The powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near.
should not be a surprise. You can see the signs. You ought to be able to read them. Wars. Amazement at the extent of man's sin. Men's hearts failing for fear. Ongoing violence of many kinds. The demise of the biblical understanding of family. Natural disasters. The extinction of species. And population or pollution growing by leaps and bounds. These all show the disintegration of creation. Sin has taken its toll. Nothing is free from Adam's inheritance. The world is falling apart right in front of you. You should look upon the cemeteries like rising thermometers. Every burial is a sign of the end. Man reacts by thinking, well, this simply can't go on forever. But God's word comes along and reminds you that you don't determine anything. God does. And he reveals that it won't go on forever. You do not know the exact day or hour, but you know, or at least God's word reveals to you, that it is inevitable. The end is coming. What God says happens. You know it is coming. By the grace of God, in this Advent season of penitential preparation, be repenting and believing. The signs are terrible. They themselves are dangerous to faith. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you be counted worthy to escape all these things. For contrary to the popular saying, there are plenty of atheists in foxholes. Foxholes don't convert to Christianity. They recruit atheists. For the most difficult place to believe in the goodness of God, in his providential care, is in the midst of evil and chaos. War, like unto divorce, illness, and death, is evil. It recruits for the devil. So watch and pray. Because the more evil you have to endure, the more faith is tested. And the more you are at risk. But rejoice in this. The end is coming. Your salvation has been won, and no temptation has overtaken you except that which is common to man. God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation, he also makes for you the way of escape. He brings you to be able to bear it. He does not forget you. He will not abandon you. He will use the temptation, even war, divorce, illness, and death. All the signs of the coming end, he will use for your good. For by them he will purify you with fire. He will teach you to rely upon him. He will bring you to know that you are weak. For in weakness, in dependent, desperate faith, he brings you to be strong only through Christ Jesus. For believers who know their shepherd, his master. This weakness, this end time, sorrow, suffering, and risk is the way of the cross. It's the Lord's way. He brings you into it out of mercy. You don't get to Easter without Good Friday. He knows what is good for you, and though it seems cruel to your weak minds, he afflicts you on purpose. He gives you custom-built crosses designed to reveal your weakness, all of them opportunities. In the midst of war, he calls soldiers to do good, to show mercy, and to confess to the hope that is in them. In the midst of divorce, he calls you to reconcile and to forgive. In the midst of illness and death, he calls you to stand before the grave and mock the devil with St. Paul's words, "O death, where is thy sting?" This doesn't mean soldiers don't kill, that the divorced must remarry original spouses, or that you shouldn't bury the dead. It simply means that he brings you to proclaim the death of Jesus Christ for the life of the world and your hope for the future, right in the midst of your sorrows and the brokenness of the world. He is the one who brings you to confess the love of God in Christ Jesus in the foxholes of your everyday troubles. Look around you, O Christian. Do you think you're alone in your suffering? Do you think your crosses are heavier than those of your brothers and sisters? By the grace of God, repent. They're not. No one gets off easy. Do not think the man who is juggling only two or three balls has it easier than you who believe that you're juggling three or four. He may only have one arm. You know little of the hidden struggles of your brothers and sisters and what they endure. Mental illness, ill health, an abusive past, a secret addiction, a mean spouse, disobedient and wandering children. All of these and more are all, sadly, common. Here is what you know, or at least what God's Word reveals to you. Nothing has overtaken you except that which is common to man. God has drawn you here. Yet again, he has called you by the gospel. That is, he has called you and kept you fixed upon Jesus Christ, crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. You have not been singled out. Look upon your brothers and sisters with sympathy. They are all hurting, the same as you. If it seems that they have it easy, you're wrong. No one has it easy. The crosses are custom made. Each of you is called according to his own gifts and talents, and each call is the same. That call sounds like, by the grace of God, be repenting and believing. Just because the world wants to direct you otherwise, do not frown upon this blessed preparatory Advent season. Remember the coming day of the Lord, and truly live by grace alone. encourage one another. The kingdom of God is near. The Lord Jesus Christ, who has given his life for you, does not ask you to endure these things forever or alone. He has placed you in a family, in the church. He has given the mutual consolation of the brethren. Your sorrow will pass away. You have not yet suffered to the point of bloodshed, but even if you do, you will not do it alone. And in the midst of your trials, you also have had joy. You have had glimpses of heaven, little tastes of what is to come. But you live not by those fleeting things, though you are rightly thankful for them when they are given. You truly live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord, because he will not pass away. He does not change. He does not fail. Your feelings, your intellect, your experiences, your family, your friends, your church, your love, your faith, and your good works, these will all fail. But the promises of God in Christ Jesus will never fail, never lie, and never stop. Heaven as well as earth will pass away, but the word of the Lord Jesus Christ endures forever. The Lord has come to earth as a man to be a sacrifice on your behalf. He has died in your place. He has claimed you by name and proclaimed you his heir in the sacred waters of holy baptism. He has forgiven you your sins and declared you righteous, holy, innocent, all by his God-created and sustained faith alone. He is risen from the dead and ascended into heaven as your advocate. He is coming back, and he will bring you home. He will not fail. Lift up your heads. You're not alone. He creates for you brothers and sisters. Lift up your heads further. The Lord comes. He will never let you be alone. Be neither afraid nor sad. Your redemption draws near. In the midst of war, divorce, illness, and sorrow, burdened by guilt, shame, and regret, you are blessed to be reminded within this Advent season that the Lord comes to you now, as he promised in his holy word and sacraments. You are not alone. You have not merely your fellow suffering bond servants along your sides. You most importantly have the Lord with you always. He is your Lord, your coming Lord. He comes to speak words of warning and comfort to you. He comes to feed your body and soul with his body and blood, that you would be strengthened for the times and trials to come, that you would have joy while you wait and while you suffer. For he is not simply your Lord in the future when sorrows shall cease. He is your Lord now, even in the midst of sorrow. You will escape these things in the end. So prepared he makes you as he brings you to and through the way of Christ's cross. O Christians, straighten up and raise your heads as you truly live, dying and rising. amazing by faith alone through Christ Jesus, who came, who comes, and will come again. Raise up your heads. Your redemption draws near. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.